But what we could also do is make something which basically simulates a working computer in Minecraft, with a, its own assembly language and stuff like that,
Yeah.
which I think would be a really cool project to do. Hello, hello everyone. I'm Gears.
And I'm Mox Valix, and welcome to the Data Pack Podcast, Episode 3.
Episode 3. Although it feels like more than that because I'm just gonna pull back the curtains for a second. This is like our what, third or fourth take of this intro? So
Yeah. We've had
I'm
a
really tempted to
couple
say episode
troubles.
7 now.
Feels like it.
Okay. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about Datapack projects that we think would be cool to work on in the future. Whether we actually get round to those projects eventually is I don't know. But just cool ideas for datapacks that we want to work on. And well, you can steal them if you want to, if you really want to.
Well,
So I
you would have to
guess we
speak
can
to my
start.
lawyers, of course.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there'll be license under something that means you have to pay us if you actually make.
That's right.
No, okay. So I guess we can start with you, Mox Valix. What are some datapack projects that you've had ideas for or you want to work on?
Yeah, okay. So, well, I've spent quite a while now working on pretty much only technical. Basically, since Coda Copper, with the exception of like making a banner pack, like doing little config style packs, I haven't really done any proper like MC function style data pack outside of like technical. And something I've like been intending to do for a while with my friend Wolfian, who actually worked on Code of Copper with us, did the structures and the lore and stuff. Basically been planning to do like an RPG data pack. And then it's gonna load. So yeah, basically, we would implement a bunch of spells, make some dungeons, and the only problem with the dungeons part is I don't really know how to use Jigsaw in data
Oh God,
packs.
don't get me started on jigsaw blocks.
I don't know what it is about them. They're so confusing.
Oh yeah, I remember at one point I decided I wanted to try and learn how to use them. And so I looked up a tutorial. There weren't very many good tutorials on jigsaw blocks. I think there are better ones now, but anyway, so I looked up a tutorial and I followed it. Oh, and it didn't work. I don't know. It just I couldn't get it to work. So yeah, I oh, jigsaw blocks are a confusing thing in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I've actually been interested in making RPG data packs as well. Well, we sort of started to work on one together a while ago, which was actually how we met, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, but that one never really got finished. So yeah, we never actually got round to making the data pack. But I did actually not too long ago try and start work on another data pack, an RPG data pack, because I just felt like working on something that wasn't technical, but I didn't get very far, and nothing ever came of it. But yeah, I think that is a good point that I have also been working on a lot of technical data packs as well, and I think it might be a nice change to work on, non-technical data pack for a bit. Actually, I mean, I have been working on a data pack, a non-technical one, since the Since 1.20.5 added some cool things you can do.
Ooh.
But the thing I find with working on non-technical data packs is there's sort of two phases I find of making data packs, right? Or making anything really, right? There's the core behavior, and then there is polishing, right? So you gotta initially you just gotta get it working, right? You got your idea and you just gotta make it, code it so it sort of works. And then afterwards you've got to make it feel good, right? You've got to make it work. You've got to make it smooth and balanced. Obviously, because in Minecraft, you don't want to have a data pack that's too difficult or too game breaking either. So yeah, I always find that I get the core bit down, right? I have an idea. I'm just like, yep, got that. Okay, that works. Now for the polish bit. And I always find it really hard to polish data packs because I find it really hard to know what's good and what's like what I should change and stuff.
Yeah. There's an element to polishing in data packs specifically that's just really tedious. Like
yeah. It feels like it's a lot of sort of tweaking numbers and changing things around and just like testing stuff over and over again. And I never know what's the best because you gotta like play test them a lot. I've always had a lot of respect for people who make like super polished data packs with like really, really well thought out features and balanced and all that kind of stuff because it is pretty hard. So I'm sort of in the polishing side of that data pack now, and the amount of time I spend working on it has significantly decreased since I started. I find myself often coming up with ideas for data packs that I'm not sure. I always feel like, okay, I want to make an RPG data pack, but I don't have enough good ideas of like things that would actually be in an RPG data pack. So instead I just make sort of the shell of the RPG data pack, which theoretically could be filled with cool content, but really is sort of just more like a library really for an RPG data pack. And I sort of end up getting in like a loop of make a library for this really cool thing, but I don't actually have enough ideas to make the cool thing itself. I just have it. I know how to implement it, but I don't know what to.
Yeah.
That's something I find a lot with
fleshing out the content, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to make nice systems in data packs, like because there's so much things that are just janky. Implementing your own spells and stuff can be a really like it can be hard to make them not just be a couple particles and a status effect. Like you've really gotta like think hard as to how to make like content in the game that's not just rehashing old, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Often what I have is I have an idea of something which would be a cool idea, but I'm not sure the specifics of it often. I'll know I want to make an RPG data pack and it'd be cool to have like skills which you can evolve from doing stuff. Like the more you mine, you get your mining skills and then you get buffs from that. But that's all I sort of know really. And I don't know the specifics. And often what I end up doing is like starting to implement it and then working out the specifics later. Which maybe is not the best idea because then I find that I end up getting demotivated because I make the bit which I know I want to make. And then I'm like, yeah, that's it. I don't have any more ideas. So I think definitely something going forward for me when coming up with new data packs is to plan them out better before I start, I think. And I think that's something that we've learned helps a lot, is to plan them out and then make them, rather than make them and then plan them.
Yeah, like plan on it as you go.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like benefits and drawbacks to each. Like with a plan as you go approach, you can get stuff done quite quickly. Like, because obviously you're like, you know, you're doing it as you're working on it. It's very like, oh, I just do this next thing and then I just do this next thing. But it can, it can lead to, like, in your case where it's like, it's tricky to know, you know, what to work on next.
And it can, if you like, don't know what else you want to add,
And it can also lead to it being a little incoherent, I guess. But yeah, and I'll just say, like, because I have actually, I've started work on some RPG data packs as well. And one thing that always bugs me is, like, methods of actually casting spells. So, like, interaction methods. And I mean, this has gotten better recently, the interaction entity and stuff like that. And obviously now the food component, allowing you to make any item right-clickable and stuff like that. But there's still the problem. Okay, the problem with the interaction entity is that to use it, you kind of have to teleport it in front of the player always.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
And that obviously blocks them from placing blocks and like interacting with things like they would normally in the game. And I mean, you could make it so that it only, you know, only shows up when they've got the correct item in their hand and stuff. But still, it's not great. Like, we're in this weird spot where it's easy to do right-click detection, and it's frustrating to do left-click detection.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's sort of solved by the new enchantment system, sort of.
Yeah, somewhat. Because, yeah, like, you can now detect when you left-click on a block. But I don't think... Does it work in the air? I don't think
it doesn't work in the air, no.
Yeah.
No.
Which is annoying. I guess, like, it works as well for when you hit an entity. So as long as you're actually hitting something. But it's like, there's times where you would just like to be able to click in the air and have it affect your spell or whatever. And unfortunately, the only way to do that is, like, an interaction in some other. Yeah. And then the other tricky thing I've found is, like, equipping your spells, I guess. So if you had an RPG data pack and you had a bunch of spells, how do you select which one you want the item to use, right? And it can have, like, five spells in it. That's something tricky I've always, like, had a bit of trouble with. And I've made systems for it over time. I've made you right-click it, and then it replaces your hotbar with a bunch of options, and then it selects that. But it's just a little unintuitive, I guess. And it's just another thing that's hard with data packs limit, I guess. Is that there's not... It's hard to do UI.
Yeah, UI... Yeah, something I've always really kind of... Well, this isn't really a data pack on its own, but I've always wanted to do some, like, really fancy GUI with data packs and just, like, make a really nice user interface for something.
Yeah, like... Like a chest GUI or like a...
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, actually, I guess I can talk about a prior project that I've done is I actually made a GUI library well before... Code of Copper and all that. And I believe I actually made it for that RPG that we... I kind of... That spurred me on to be like, okay, this needs to be solved. So I made... I don't think anyone else had really done it. I made a data-driven. So basically, instead of, you know, hard-coding everything, now there was a little bit of hard, but it would load it from data storage and then render the GUI based on them.
Yeah.
And with the advent of, like, macros and stuff, it's really something I would... Actually, yeah, that's something I would like to go back to and work on in the future is a modern... take on my like data driven and like with the end result being maybe making a website that generates these, like, you know, you design the GUI on the website and then it generates the like data modify command that you can use with the library, which that would be super cool.
So I actually Speaking of which, I did actually have some fun with GUIs for my recent data pack, which I'm working on, and I hope to actually finish soon. So I'm not going to say what the data pack itself is, but I will talk about, basically, I decided I wanted to make a progress bar in Minecraft. And
Ooh.
obviously, since Minecraft is all, pixelated and stuff, it's kind of hard. But basically, I came up with this idea, right? So I wanted a progress bar which basically pretty much smoothly transitions from 0 to 100%, and goes from red to green.
Yeah.
And so what I came up with was, this is something I haven't really done before, but I used leather horse armor,
Oh.
with custom model data, and I basically created a model, or I created a texture for 1 pixel, 2 pixels, 3 pixels, and all the way up to 16 pixels full. And then I used the leather armor because, if you don't know this, if you put custom model data on leather horse armor or any kind of leather armor really, you can dye it and make your texture a different color. So I basically had a custom texture which changed with the dye color.
Oh. Also, like the
And
game adds the tint already for you.
yeah, exactly. So you basically draw a grayscale texture and then it changes based on color.
Oh,
And that
that's
was a
cool.
cool thing which I feel like you could do quite a lot with.
Yeah, I've never thought about that. That's a cool use of leather horse armor. This is, I guess, what I really love about data packs is there's just like
All the
little
fun,
hacks and tricks like that you can just you it feels so good to like work that out and be like, oh yeah, I can do that. And like I
It was a
really
lot of fun to like see the result of that in the
I love just like you're sitting you're in bed or you're sitting down somewhere and just like you're like mulling over things in your brain and then suddenly you just have an idea and you're like, I wonder if it works that way, like in a data pack. And then you try it out, and when it does work, and you've just like figured out a cool new way of doing a data pack, it's like gotta be
Yeah,
one of my favorite parts.
one of the best parts of making data packs. Anyway, we went a little off topic there. So let's talk about other projects that we'd like to work on. Okay, so I guess we can talk about something which we've been discussing for a while, me and you, which is making a virtual machine in Minecraft. So obviously we made a programming language, but what we could also do is make something which basically simulates a working computer in Minecraft, with a its own assembly language and stuff like that,
Yeah.
which I think would be a really cool project to do. I have actually started working on a project like that before, and implemented a basic assembly language in that, and it was a lot of fun, and I think it would be cool to make a fully working thing.
I mean, we were even talking about maybe in RISC-V somewhat, and then I potentially even compiling Linux and like I mean it would be super 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 slow but
Yeah, it would be painfully slow, but it would be pretty cool to run Linux
that would be
in
super
Minecraft.
cool. And actually another project I've actually wanted to do which is very related to that is implement some kind of dynamic display, so something like a basically a monitor MC function we would be able to like write to with like display drivers
Yeah, that would be cool.
and then obviously that would allow us to output get an output from the thing. And I've thought about different methods. I was thinking about using painting somehow, but the only problem is that the amount because paintings are at minimum 16 by 16 pixels. The amount of painting variance you would need to be able to dynamically like set each pixel is like super duper high. Unfortunately, because I can't just generate paintings on the fly, I've deemed that unfeasible. But I did have an idea using text displays,
and
a custom font, even.
Yeah, or just like there's the square Unicode character, isn't there?
Yeah. So could use the square Unicode character, or I haven't played around with fonts really, but I believe there's ways to have fonts render differently based on what characters are around them, which could theoretically, there could be something interesting there. I haven't really looked too far into it. It's just something that I've theorized on.
This probably wouldn't be good because you need one entity per pixel, but you could potentially do something with, again, leather horse armor maybe and dye color. And with item displays, but then you'd need one entity for each pixel for that, so maybe that's not really feasible. That would probably cause too much lag. I think text display is probably the most viable way to do it. I would like to look into that at some point and just try and get something working.
Yeah, it would be super cool to have a dynamic display.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously people have done it with, like, I've seen displays done with particles and stuff, but it's like particles are very like location specific and hard to do, so I'd probably
like a nightmare.
Particles are probably one of the reasons why I don't like polishing, because they're somewhat expected, but they're just such a nightmare to use.
Okay, so another data pack I've wanted to work on for a while now. I'm pretty sure I'm going to make one, and I'm going to make a video about it and stuff, because I think it's going to be an interesting one, is I'm going to try and make a working neural network.
Yeah, okay.
Training a neural network to do something. Initially, I'm going to have a little pathfinding thing, basically. It's going to be a path, and it's going to need to learn to navigate it, basically.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, though, like, if you can, I don't know how far, it's probably going to be quite slow, though, because it requires quite a lot of calculation. But it would be interesting if you could make your own AI in Minecraft and train it, like make a neural network and train it to be whatever you want it to be. Because obviously with data packs and like custom entities, you can't really, create your own AI for that, right?
Yeah. But
what if you could create like a neural network and train an entity? I feel like there would be some cool things you could do with that.
Neural networks.
And I really want to do that at some point.
A data pack. Do you have any food, by the little bit on the hungry side?
Not really.
Okay. We might want to.
Maybe we should go back for a bit.
Yeah, consider escaping. For those who can't see weed, we're in a Paris.
Yeah. Okay. So. I'd like to see how far you can go with a neural network and a data pack and how powerful you could get it. I think that would be interesting to see. Other things. Things that I've wanted to do before is I've sort of wanted to try and just recreate other data packs or mods that exist and just see what I can do with them, like see if I can manage to figure out how to make that. Sometimes you just see a project and you're like, oh, that's really cool. I wonder how they did that. I wonder if I could do that too. And you can just like come up with a way to, you just try and come up with a way to get that working with like a date, like either porting a mod to a data pack is one thing, or recreating a data pack or something like that. So, I remember one thing I wanted to do was, I wanted to make, recreating my own version of sort of World Edit was something that I kind of wanted to do at one point. I thought that would be interesting, seeing how much of world edit I could recreate using a data pack.
Yeah.
Several people have done this, recreated a world edit data pack. Also, something I was really fascinated in was the replay mod, and also people have done this as well. Have made remade the replay mod with the data pack, with obviously not nearly as many capabilities, but that's a cool thing. Like retracing things that happened, I think is an interesting concept. And yeah, what else? Well, one thing I was started working on a while ago, which I thought was interesting, is a drawing data pack. So you can like draw. It was using particles actually, but you basically draw shapes and it keeps track of what you've drawn and keeps track of what you've drawn, and then it basically re-renders it, and you could do stuff like draw a line or just a point or a circle or a square or stuff like that,
Yeah, cool.
but. Yeah, I never really got around to finishing that. What else have you
Yeah.
thought been interested in working on before?
Well, that drawing one has actually reminded me. I've always had an idea of like an input method almost of being like using right click and then you draw a shape or you draw something and then it like performs a task based on what you drew. And it like tries to guess what you're trying to do based on the shape, which I feel like would be that's a technical challenge.
That's a cool idea. We should do that.
Yeah, it's something I've like always thought it would just be a super cool way of like casting spells and
I
like that
wonder
kind of
if you
thing.
could use a neural network to recognize shapes from that. Probably
Oh,
wouldn't, might not be very efficient, but I think I
no.
have seen something like that before
Yeah.
where someone made a spell data pack using drawing shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely possible. I think it would be interesting to do. I mean, a lot of data pack ideas that I've had have just come from stuff that I've seen somebody else do, not as a data pack, just like as something in a different programming language, right? They made something, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if I could do that, but in Minecraft?
Yeah.
I have that a lot. I'm just like, yeah, what if? Yeah, okay, you can do it pretty easily in, whatever programming language, but can you do it easily in Minecraft? I don't think so. So I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, another thing, I thought would be interesting, and I've sort of worked on this a bit, and I think I'm gonna make a I'm gonna make this at some point, is implementing a sort of some sort of internet protocol in the data in a data pack,
Yeah.
so you can have like a server and a client that send data to each other.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool to do something like that with. You could theoretically do quite a lot because as soon as you just have some protocol for sending data from one piece of code to another, you can do a lot of things with that. Oh, and on that note, there is well something that we've been trying to do for a while is something we've wanted to do is figure out some way to make HTTP requests in
Yeah.
my it, with data packs, right? And there is sort of one way to do it, sort of.
Sort of.
I really wish there would be some way to make an HTTP request in a data pack, because there would be so many cool things you could do with data packs, I feel like. So what we figured out, do you want to explain what we figured out that you can do
Is this the
with the what's it transfer?
yeah so okay so basically a new command was added in a recent version, I think 1.20 basically. And basically it allows a server to transfer a player to another server, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a Minecraft server. It will make the request to just whatever IP it's given to. Theoretically, given an infinite amount of players on your server, you could use that to send out requests by submitting a player to a particular server with a, like, let's say the server was listening across multiple ports. You could have one port mean a binary 0, one port be a binary 1, and then theoretically you could keep sending, you could transfer a player to 0, transfer a player to 1, and back and forth. And that would be a way of communicating data out of the game over the internet.
But you can't really... There's not an easy way of sending data back, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is the slightly annoying part. But yeah, so we basically set up a server. We basically just... We ran a server, and then we used the transfer command... And we saw it does, it sends a packet to the server. So you can detect, and you could have a very basic implementation of the Minecraft server protocol, which just simply transfers the player back.
Yeah.
Straight back to the source server. Although you can't really extrapolate the source server, I don't think. So you might need to hard code it. But yeah, it's technically possible. And it would be kind of cool at some point to make something using that. You basically just have a server which pings the player back every time, and then yeah, you can send requests out to do stuff using that.
Yeah, I actually had an idea as to I'm just gonna pitch this live while we're. I had an idea as to how to send data back. Let's say you had two players that you send out, right? So. Yeah. As part of the protocol, let's say, is that each request you have to transfer two players out. You could then, get back a 0 or 1, let's say.
Based on player transfers back.
Which player transfers back first, exactly.
Yeah.
So the order of the players can then be the information coming back.
Right.
Which would be very slow.
Yeah.
But it theoretically would work.
I think you might be onto something with that. I feel like, although, doesn't it need to be asynchronous so you can send out data and then, I don't know, it would have to work out some more of the specifics, I think. But that would be pretty cool to be able to properly interface with a real, any arbitrary server. In just Minecraft data packs.
Now, the unfortunate reality behind it, though, is that it has to be running on a server. The server has to be configured to allow data packs to have, like, permission left 4 or something.
There's
a bunch of unfortunate requirements which kind of make it not very feasible.
It would be more just like a, here's a thing that we... You know, it's like those... You see them sometimes, like... We managed to do this cool thing, but in reality, it would never work.
Yeah. It's like, not practical, but it's feasible. It's like, it's actually physically doable, which I think that's would still quite cool. Like,
yeah, we did this and we actually got it to sort of work rather than, here's a data pack and this allows you to interface with HTTP in any data. Like that, yeah, that wouldn't work. We couldn't make a library for it. It would just be like a one-time cool thing that we can say we did. But I think there is merit to doing stuff like that. I mean, one thing, you get to post about it on the internet and have people respect you and your technical skills.
Which is obviously the most important part. Yeah, there's definitely...
To learn something, we'd probably get to learn about the Minecraft server protocol, so we could have enough to transfer the player back. We'd need to learn about HTTP requests and stuff and figure out the best way to encode data in, you know, when your transfer method is extremely limited.
Mm.
It would be fun. It would be a fun project to do at some point.
Yeah.
There's so many project ideas that we've had that we haven't got around to because we're just working on old projects. They take so long to complete.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we should start doing, because one reason why it's taking so long for us to make our projects is because, every time we want to work on something or add a new feature to something we're working on, we're doing it all together, right? We're, what's the term?
Pair programming.
Yeah, there we go. Which is good because it means we both get a good understanding of the code base and we both get to discuss everything that we're going to add and make sure that it's exactly as we want it to be. But the downside to that is that since we live on other sides of the world and we live, you know, and we have different schedules and live in different time zones and stuff, we don't get to work on our projects at a very fast rate. So I'm wondering if maybe at some point we should just start working on projects separately for a bit. Because I feel like we could definitely get stuff done.
I mean, that's what we did that's how we got Code of Copper out in the like super limited time frame we did. Oops. Thus ends me. Sorry, I just fell into lava. that is how we got Code of Copper out in the time we did.
Yeah, if we'd done pair programming for Code of Copper, there's no way we would have
done it in a week. Yeah.
No way we would have done it in 1 week, yeah, for sure.
And I think I think there has definitely been merit to our pair programming because I think it definitely increased the quality of the work. I think
I think for sure that, and also, yeah, I mean, we can spot mistakes. So, because obviously when you're programming, you're going to make mistakes. And sometimes if you've written some code and there's a mistake in it, it's hard to see that mistake because you just wrote the code with the logic that you came up with. And if you have someone else, then they can see the logical errors that you've made, and help you fix them. But it also means that it is quite slow to develop stuff.
Yeah.
It would be really nice to work on some of these. I feel like I've always had a lot of ideas for data packs, but for some reason right now I just can't think of the specific ones that much. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe here's a good place to end it.
Yeah. Well, we may as well. We do have something we can tease. This is less a project we've been planning to work on and a project that we have actually been working on. Basically, we've got. I'll preface it like this. Over our time working on data pack, come up with our own style of making data packs, and we've also kind of both thought about a lot, like the things, like the pain points in making data packs, and the areas of like repetition and the not so nice parts about making data pack. Like, for example, a function has to be a full separate file.
Yeah.
That's,
oh god, that is
so unwieldy. And it's just simple stuff like that. That's just like, it just makes making data packs just a bit more painful, longer to make. So we've been working on a data pack preprocessor. So for those that don't know what a preprocessor is, it's a function that basically compiles down to a data pack. It runs before, before the, like...
Yeah, it's like a slightly higher level language than data language into MC function. And it sort of eliminates a lot of the, repetitions and a lot of the verbosity, maybe I'll say. Allows you to organize your data packs in a much neater way and think less about the specifics of a lot of data pack things in data packs. But we're not going to talk about that today because that would be boring. we're going to talk about it next episode. So if you want to hear a bit more about that and about our next project, which we're going to use it for, well, we're going to talk about that in the next episode. So you better subscribe or whatever you do if you're not on YouTube. So, yeah, I guess with that, we can finish the episode and say goodbye. And we'll see you in the next one. You know what? Bonus clip.
Yep.
Okay. Are you recording?
Yep.
Okay. So I just, I bet this is going to happen a bunch after the podcast episode. I'm going to think of all the things which I should have said. But after we finished recording, I just remembered an old project which I'd started working on, which I thought was just a really fun little thing, which is that I was coding in the ability for hoppers to suck up players. So a hopper would, if a player stands on a hopper, they would be sucked into the hopper. And then basically the player would be like an in item form. And they basically would follow around wherever the item went. And so you could like sort them into a chest or you need another player to pick them out of the hopper and place them back down to be able to do stuff again, which I thought was just a really fun thing, which I unfortunately never really got fully working. But yeah, I thought I'd share that.
That's a great idea. I love it.